Welcome back to the Hawkins Reports, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. I'm your host, Dean.
I'm Jessica.
I'm Josh.
I'm Matthew.
On this week's episode, we bring you Season 2, Chapter 9, The Gate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for the finale, The Gate. We're doing a special four-way podcast. We don't get to do these very often, but when we do, they're a lot of fun. Expect lots of nonsense, a lot of fuckery, expect a lot of crosstalk, because Jessica's here. Ha! Ha! Just kidding. But we got Jessica, Josh, myself, Dean, and of course, and then Josh. Did I say everybody?
I'm here twice.
Oh. Josh is here twice.
Wow.
Josh, Matt, Jessica.
The guy who's been on this fucking show before, I don't get introduced.
Matt's here too.
Old news.
Matt's here too. So here we are. We're going to be talking about The Gate. We're going to do it the way we always do it. So I got some questions for people. I'm gonna start with Josh because, you know, he hasn't been on this show yet. And then I think we'll move to Matt. I think most of our normal listeners can probably guess where Jessica and I are in terms of how we feel about this season. They might know a little bit about Matt, but I don't think they know anything about what Josh has to say, especially if they've never listened to the rest of the shows. Just so you know, Josh is one of our co-hosts over at LSG Media. And
he's a vagrant we pulled in just for this episode.
A vagrant.
A fourth voice.
We found him on the side of the road.
Occasionally we do X-Files podcasts, and then after we do one, we go, oh, we're going to do this next one like in 2 weeks, and then we do it in 3 months. Because life, man. Because life. But Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I'm glad to be here. And before I do give any thoughts, I have a quick thank you for you guys for inviting me on.
I was like, man, what is that noise?
I listen closely, so I know what you guys like, and I just want to say thank you. So, Dean, here you go.
That's for you.
Jessica?
Wow. I'm going to send this to...
Oh, my God.
There you go, your favorites.
I'm going to send this to Matt. I'm holding a double-sized Three Musketeers 2-bar.
Delicious.
Mine is an Almond Joy, and just looking at the wrapper makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
Enjoy. Enjoy, fuckers.
I'll have both, please.
Matt,
reach into your sink.
Refill my drink, please,
you're
sir.
You're going to find a surprise.
Here's the good news. It's a Walking Dead Glenn sweater.
Let's keep going.
So, dude, here's the good news about this candy bar, right? There is only 36 grams of sugar.
Wait, mine only has 21. Do you want to trade?
You guys, I think you do bar. Like each other of these, so you can...
72 grams of sugar here, so I'm going to send this to my diabetic friends. They're going to like
here
that.
Here you go, Dean. Want to make a little trade? Look what I got right here.
I'm sending this to Matt.
That's really fucking rude.
I got another one.
Yeah.
I'll send my Almond Joy to all of you in the chat that want it.
All right, cool. Nice
so,
work.
So, sorry for the tangent. What was the question?
No, Almond Joy does work. Talk to me about Stranger Things Season 2. Just give me a quick... recap what you think leading up to your thoughts about this particular episode.
I like the season a lot, and I was very, very nervous going into Stranger Things original. Just blew me away.
Of course.
I loved it. I had no expectations. It caught me completely off guard. I think most people, I didn't get a lot of hype before I started watching it, and blew me away. I loved it. And I really didn't want them to make another season. I didn't see any way it could get better. I thought it was just such a perfect, beautiful, out of nowhere, original entity, and I just wanted to stand alone. I thought it could only go downhill. Overall, you know, this will never match season one, but I will take that back. I'm glad they made this. I'm glad it's continuing, and I'm especially glad they're capping it, that there is an end, that this is not going to Walking Dead its way, you know, through the world. It's going to be 4 seasons.
Is that a TV show?
It was.
Got it.
Jesus Christ.
But I have a lot of hope for it. I think it's great. I think the season did a really good job of adding without just trying to go bigger overall. There was a couple slip-ups. I think obviously that one, I think it was episode 7.
The Lost Sister.
Just, yeah.
Oops.
It's kind of out there. And there's I really like this episode. There was a couple things that I didn't love about it. That I'll talk about when we get to. Overall, I think it's a pretty good, there's some great moments, great climax, really good tension. I love how the gang gets mixed up. Stranger Things season 2 is very strong. I give it an A versus an A plus, I guess, for the original. And this one was probably one of my top 4 episodes of this season, barring another rewatch.
Nice.
I agree.
Maddie boy, talk to me about the gate, man. Tell me about your overall impressions. You can do a little bit of a season, like whatever. Just do your thing, bro.
Yeah.
Do what you want, okay? Whatever you want.
You're the man. You know what you're doing.
I mean, on it, as far as the season itself goes, I don't have anything to add further than what Josh said. I mean, I think it's a really, really, really strong season. It's impossible. Like we talked about this before, it's impossible to be as original as the first because now you've already broken the ground. They themselves broke the ground and made this universe, and so to return to it is inherently not quite as, you know, original and striking, but it's still, it's great, man. Like this show, it has that like cozy feeling of like, ah, this is still Stranger Things. It didn't change and become something else and feel different. Like it still feels like the same show. I still feel the same way about the characters. I'm still invested and interested in all of them. And yeah, this was still just a great fucking season overall. And I think this is up there with the top two or three episodes of this season for me. I really enjoyed this one. And I am continually impressed at this show's ability to converge multiple storylines in a really like cohesive way. Like it works. Like nothing feels way less important than the other thing. They're focused on at their most interesting points. Like there's never I don't feel like of any of the storylines in this episode, because you know we have all the different like, you know, pieces of the mission all happening at once. They are all equally as intense, even though when you step back and look at it from a plot perspective, you're like, well, what they're doing isn't quite as, you know, apocalyptic as maybe what Eleven is doing. Like, you know, she's closing the gate to another dimension with the big monster right behind it. A little more maybe high stakes, you could say. But they're all focused on in this like elevated, perfect, pitch perfect way of everything's intense at the same time and they're all working together. Because I really was wondering, you know, two or three episodes before this, how are we going to get everybody together? Like, how is it going to get down to the same place? Like, everybody was so much further spread apart this time. And I was like, how are they going to make this make sense by the final episode? And man, they fucking did it. They pulled it off. Like, I wanted to see more. You know, when I stop and think about it, I'm kind of sad that we only got, what, two scenes of Mike and Eleven being together in this entire season. I'm like, that's kind of sad. I mean, it's cool in a way that it was held off from us and we finally get a kind of more impactful reunion at the end here, but I kind of wish I got to see more of them together. But no, man, this episode was super strong, and I'm also really glad. I don't know about you guys, that the last 20 minutes of this episode are just the characters. It's just us getting to see them, you know, live their lives, have, you know, resolve these things, and Eleven start to get a taste of real life again. You know, the big climax was not the end, and I enjoyed that. I liked getting a longer look at all the kids and the town and the dance. It was sweet. It was cute.
Oh,
I really like it.
It was a long look, all right.
It was a long... Oh, okay, we found Josh's issue. Okay, all right.
I'm with you, Matt. Don't worry.
Nice. Okay, Jack Skellington.
What the fuck?
The Pumpkin King Santa Claus.
All right. So, yeah, man. Jessica, talk to me about The Gate. What are your impressions of this episode?
I like this episode a lot as well. I think my order of my favorite episodes this season is like somewhere between like episode 6 and episode 8 would probably be a pretty close tie for my favorite, and this would come afterwards. This was good, and while there wasn't as much excitement or action, or you know, there was tension, but it wasn't the same as like episode 6 where you're not even close to the end, and episode 8 where you have like a character death and all of this stuff, and we're kind of all just first coming together. There's still something about it, and I think it's just that we have grown to love and care about these characters so much that it's almost like you can overlook things like, oh, they never thought about doing this before all this time, et cetera, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? The things that, you know, the internet complains about, and you know that I'm always mad at the internet. But the character stuff in this episode is so fantastic. I probably teared up like 7 different times out of just happiness and love for these like people who aren't real. And I don't know. I was really happy with it. And the structure is similar to the finale of last season where they give us a little epilogue. Yeah. Obviously, the epilogue in season 1 is a lot shorter. I don't mind this long epilogue. It's very 80s to me.
Just as a point of order. I pulled up, I have chapter 8, the Upside Down season 1 on in the background, and I'm just kind of scrubbing through. They are They all the episode is about 55 minutes long, and at the 40 minute mark, they finish it up, and they run an epilogue for about 15 minutes.
Doesn't feel as long.
And then they have a a moment at the 44 minute mark where it says 1 month later, and then there's the last 10 minutes is sort of letting us know that Eleven's still out there, Will's still possessed. So we got this little thing. So compared to what Matt said, which is 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes for this finale. So it is, it definitely, because of the way it's structured, it's easily 5 minutes longer just on paper and let alone the way they structure it. So yeah, it runs a little bit longer and that works for some and obviously not others.
It's 80s. It's just like an 80s movie, like a cheesy, like 80s rom-com, like John Hughes. Everyone goes to the dance and they all find their partner and kiss at the end.
17 minutes to be precise on the second season, but whatever. Awesome. Cool. So yeah, rather than just kind of say more of all the same stuff, I say we just dive in and my thoughts will become apparent as we go through. How's that sound? Everybody ready?
Sure.
Ready.
Cool. All right. So we'll move through this chronologically as we like to do. And then there's a certain point at the end of this episode, towards the end here, where we're doing these rapid back and forth cuts between the three groups before they converge. And we'll just sort of run through that at the end. But we pick right up where we left off. Mike and Eleven coming together, grasping a long-awaited reunion. And just, again, as Jessica pointed out, plenty of character moments in this. And I really like the scene in that I think it's good that we see an Eleven-Mike reunion. I think that's important to the Mike character. I also think it's important to the Eleven character. We know they're fond of each other. We know that they've been separated for a long time, which was unanticipated. I know Matt was kind of saying that in his opening thoughts. And I like the way this episode, right before it cuts away to the credits, spins into this battle between Mike and Hopper. I thought that was cool. I thought it was cool that they said, well, look, this episode is still going to have its conflict. It's still going to have its stuff. We do want you to have this reunion. We want you to have this moment. But at the same time, we also want this stuff between Mike and Hopper to sort of unfold. Because obviously, Mike's going to be upset hearing that Hopper's been available this whole time, but being deliberately hidden by Hopper. Now, of all the great things in this episode, one of my favorite things about this episode is Hopper. I think he's fucking great.
Me too.
Yeah.
He's just so good. He's just a good actor, this David Harbour guy. And he's awesome, man. He just feels like a very real guy to me. I don't know anything about this guy personally, but I feel like he is just reaching into some real, I don't know, there's something genuine and real and blue collar about the guy that I really appreciate. And I like this scene quite a bit. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I actually, one thing I really like about this scene is how he pulls Mike aside. How he's like, let's talk in another room. Like that's, it's a small thing, but it's in the sense of I'm not just going to dress this kid down and be like, oh, you're just a fucking kid. You don't understand. I was looking out for her, like in front of everybody. Like he gives him kind of a little bit of like adult like respect. Like, okay, I know you're the one most upset about this. Let's actually talk about it, and I'll try to tell you why. And like in that scene when he pulls him aside, and Mike's just like, ah, you fucking, oh my god, like he's just so angry. And I like what Hopper says of like, I just need you to try and understand. He's like, you can be mad at me, you can hate me, you can feel like all of this is bullshit and unfair, but you just need to try and understand where I'm coming from. And in this moment, I don't think Mike does. But you know, I'm glad he gave him this moment to have between the two of them. Try and even though they're mostly just butt heads, but it's good on Hopper.
Matt Damon, Robin Williams scene.
Exactly.
It's not your fault.
Don't fucking fuck you, Sean.
Fuck you.
It's not your fault.
Nice. Jessica, what'd you think about Eleven not shaking Max's hand here?
This is like to me such a realistic. I like her. She's the reunion with the other guys. And Max is so excited. Like, oh my God, I've heard so much about you. Mm-hmm. And Eleven just totally blows her off, which I think Eleven is like the super powerful, like basically like superhero who can do all this stuff. And she still is petty. Like she's still a 13-year-old girl.
Right.
Who's like, I remember seeing her too close to Mike and I will not have it.
Got it.
And I like it. I thought it was realistic. And she's still a kid. Mm-hmm. She's still a kid.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a pretty stark reminder of this, right? That she is, in fact, an adolescent kid with, right. in not normal. Okay, look, nothing normal about her powers aside. Her just the way she was brought up. She's, you know, she's going to struggle with these types of weird interactions. But yeah, I feel like some people might have rolled their eyes at her not shaking her hand. But then I also feel like those same people might have rolled their eyes had she shook her hand, and we start off with this real happy, like fucking touchy feely start to this episode. So I'm glad. I guess that's my point in this opening, is I'm glad we didn't just stray into touchy-feely territory. Like, we needed the Mike 11 thing. That was cool. It felt good. And then went into the Hopper conflict and him hugging Mike and them having it out and her not shaking Max's hand. And then 11 sort of revealing, I think Josh isn't here. She reveals something about, I know Will's in pain.
Yeah. And then she goes right to Joyce. They kind of have that reunion. And she's like, I know I saw when Joyce shows them. Shows her Will and says he's not doing well. And then, you know, Joyce does the good thing as a mother who knows this girl who didn't know her own mother and offers to sacrifice her by asking her to go shut the gate.
Fucking A.
Hey, go work for me.
Anything for her baby boy.
Go work
boy.
For my child who I actually
hey,
love.
You're an orphan anyway. Go fucking clean this up.
She's like, you already did it for me once. I already sent you Nobody on a dangerous mission one time before.
What are you going to net? Three?
I hugged you, though. That was enough, right?
You're going to net three people at your funeral? Go ahead. Get out there.
Enjoy.
Oh, good. Let's see Mike cry again. Yay. Cry frog face. Yay.
Oh, monster.
Wow. How dare you, sir?
Now, you know who's not a frog face? Miss Wheeler.
Dude.
Oh, we're going to talk about her because this is the fucking best part of this entire episode. Dude,
what was the name of that book?
It is.
I'll
tell you right
now. It's a Fabio fucking romance novel.
It's such a fun. It's called. It's written by Joanna Lindsay. Heart of I don't know. Her hand's covering it. Heart of Thunder.
Heart of Thunder or Heart of a Warrior? Because she's got a lot of books. This Joanna Lindsay. I'm googling her as we speak. They're fucking real.
Can we read a passage out of Heart of Thunder?
God, I hope so. Fuck.
And then the older Countess. Saw the young knight at her doorstep. And then, of course,
Heart
the young
thunder.
Fucking knight comes to her door.
Southern even though, number two. Can I read you what it's about?
Buried his blade in her yeah.
into her wound.
He placed his sword in her sheath. Yeah, hilt deep.
She's got a real Mrs. Robinson fucking...
Oh, Jesus Christ, does she ever? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Trust me.
That being said, what did you think of this scene?
It made me laugh out loud.
Chapter one, it Samantha made... stopped pacing as she caught sight of herself in the large oval mirror over the fireplace. I'm not kidding. This is the first chapter of that
yes.
book. I found it. I got it.
God, dreams
it
come
made
through.
Me laugh, but then it didn't, like, it went on for a bit. And it really...
Yeah, I'm sensing
oh,
a theme
Josh
from Josh
is so
here.
So hard on this. How
hey,
dare
who
you?
Invited the killjoy? Was that you that texted him?
it was.
No, he texted me and wanted to be the killjoy. All right,
well,
all right?
I will kind of give a spoiler early here. Is one of the reasons this scene bugs me too is that one of my biggest problem with this episode probably is Billy. Like that when we get there, that was such a fucking weak payoff to the amount of screen time we've devoted to this character. Like, really? That's
what'd you,
it.
What'd you expect?
I just thought they were going to do something a little bit more interesting than, yep, he's just a racist douche, and then he's
for sure
did
gay.
You think he might come into the fold, kind of? Like,
no, I don't know. I just, yeah, remember, or maybe, like, maybe he'd be, like, a douche, and he'd still be shitty, but he'd kind of, like, protect Max out of, like, some fucking, like, shitty instinct, and maybe like he'd end up not doing it for the right reasons, but just something more than that. So now, like, watching it again, I'm like, oh one, god, more Billy time. Like, after all the time talking about, like, oh, this character, like, oh, he's such a shit. Is he shitty? Like, let's hear just a take on him. Is he
he's shitty.
Yeah, he's shitty. Yeah. And then it's just like, that's it. He's just shitty. And then
I have a counterpoint. I don't know if I agree with your stance on this. Oh. So here's what I like about Billy. I like that they set him up early as this is going to be, oh, fucking Billy's going to come around because he's being funny. He's being flirty. We're like, oh, this is fucking funny Billy shit. And then he doesn't. He's a fucking piece of shit. And he's been abused by his stepdad or dad or whatever.
Wah, wah.
So he's a fucking gonna. So, like, fighting and aggression.
Suck it up, dude.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Take a laugh.
So, yeah. Well, dude, did your dad beat the shit out of you?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
And that's your personal information we can't share on a podcast.
So my point is, he's this kid who revels in pain. Like when he's getting beat up and punched and he's like, ah, fucking laughing. Like I could imagine that happening. But now we know at the end of this episode that Billy's not gone. So I think for Billy to come around and to be favorable by the end of this episode would have been a little too soon, especially after like he's a dick to Lucas. I think we're going to see this coming in the next season, maybe. Maybe there's an arc for Billy in the future, but I don't think he got enough character time to have an arc in this episode, I guess is my point.
I mean, yeah, I it's not that I wanted more of a Billy arc. I thought there was just too much Billy for this. Like the whole fucking, there's a lot of time spent on this fucking character and this conflict with him and Max and then him with Lucas. And it just didn't pay off at all. And I never thought the show showed me he was going to turn around. I just thought like, oh, we're going to do some writing fuckery because like these guys are good writers. They're not going to just spend all this time on this fucking dude just for him to be a two-dimensional douche. But
yeah,
I know. That's it.
I think he's two-dimensional because he hasn't been developed yet. There hasn't been enough time devoted to him, I guess is my point.
I do see what you're saying though, Josh, of like he was kind of like hung over the heads of all our characters all season long as if like he's going to become.
Was he though? You think that?
The way they keep returning to him, I actually have more of a complaint about how they use Max just because Max is just like her character. I mean, there's some interesting stuff she does, especially in this episode, but a lot of the time she's just like, oh, I'm just afraid of my brother. Oh, I'm just afraid. Like, oh, it was always just, I'm here. Oh, and trying to not be seen being here by my brother. Like that was always just that conflict came back over and over and over again. I do see what Josh is saying as far as like, is that going to go anywhere? Like, okay, we're kind of at like a standstill with that now.
Well, but what are you saying? We heard what Josh said.
What?
Like, what are you saying? Like, we heard Josh's opinion. What's yours?
I mean, like I said, I'm still...
Johnny Fence Dancer.
Oh my God. I'm saying, no, what I'm fine with is I'm fine with him still being a douchebag. Like, I almost wanted him to be even worse or something. I wanted him to become like an actual like threat against them in an even more intense way or something. Like almost a full-blown antagonist. Like, I thought they were going to take him that far, but then they're still kind of just the middle. Like, ah, yeah, he's just... Like we went to Josh Fence. It's like, yeah, he's just shitty. You're like, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean... it's like, I don't know.
He's shitty, but he like ground and pounded Steve's fucking face into oblivion. Like they had to stab him with a thing. And you know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't just a throwaway dude. He shows up at the end. And I mean, I don't know. I guess my point is I don't mind the Billy character's use in this based on like the overall fucking problem is Will, the upside down, all this shit. Max is, I don't mind Max's usage because I feel like they did a good job of saying, okay, Max is in this group, but she's always kind of on the fringe a little bit. And we still kind of feel like she's on the fringe a little bit, even though she's working her way into the group slowly but surely. But Billy has always just sort of been this like random event, like weather. Like he's just like, he fucking shows up and he's like, what the fuck? I don't want my girl hanging out with this kid. We knew that was going to like, we had to see Billy this episode, right?
Yeah, because they fucking spent so much time the whole season. I just don't think it wasn't worth the payoff. And part of it was too, because I really liked Max, and that's, I feel like she was kind of underused, not terribly, but they had to give her the conflict, and this was her main conflict, and it didn't really pay off for me. But that's it. Like, I mean, that's 99% of my negativity is just about the Billy thing in this episode. So I don't want to dwell on it too much because there's so much good shit to talk about.
Yeah. We agree to disagree, I suppose. I thought Billy was used sufficiently as he could have been used.
Oh, you just are Billy. That's based why he's on, got a soft spot
based
for
on this.
Dude, he's unbuttoning his shirt right in front of me right now.
I wish I had buttons. So I would unbutton it. yeah, anyway. So, yeah, there you have it. The Billy thing is the Billy thing. But I would assume we're going to see some development in probably more arc to him next season.
I assume
when
Mrs.
he ruins
Wheeler
the Wheeler's marriage and plows Nancy's mom.
Season development.
Which I wouldn't blame him at all for because she's the fucking fox in that scene.
Yeah. In his defense, he does have a nice ass. I can say that.
It's true.
Billy does? He sure does.
He's got a great
ass. He's poured into those jeans.
Those acid-washed asses.
I just want to say... while we're talking about Billy right now and how his piece
this
of shit.
This scene's so fucking funny, man.
No, before I even talk about funny scene is, I just want everybody to remember all season when you all said I'd turn around on Billy, and here we are, everybody.
I said it.
And I
no
fucking win.
Did.
because I did not turn around on Billy and I still hate him.
Oh, what a shock.
Hashtag you didn't turn around on the racist
two-dimensional asshole. Powerful, Jessica. Powerful.
Thank you.
And what do you know? A New Englander still hates something. Wow. You get a medal. No.
This scene still was funny and I don't even care. It made me laugh out loud. It was fantastic.
I like it.
Well, it's a good thing Matt's here because what he'll do is he'll hear two sides of a disagreement and play them both very well.
Like like devil's advocate.
Politician, motherfucker.
All right, so, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. I definitely snickered because I was thinking this bitch just read some hot scene, some hilarious count banging some duchess scene in that stupid fucking book.
You know, I mean, she's like, I'm going to go back upstairs, get that removable shower head and ride it all the way into Orgasm Town now. That's it. Ride it all the way there.
This sure ain't going to be Ted. That's for sure.
No, he's, that sleeping piece of
he
shit.
He was sleeping. He just murdered a lot of women and he was very tired.
Yeah.
Could not answer that door.
So, my strangling hands all cramped.
I got carpal tunnel from cracking runaway necks. Hey, let's talk about Hopper and the kids. It's grown a lot, right? They're talking about the fucking creature, man. Like, this is bad news. They decide that if the brain dies, the body dies in this next scene, right? Take me through this, Jess.
So basically, they're kind of making a plan. Hopper's not even sure they can get into the lab. They have the little moment of levity with Dustin trying to explain the demodogs. And Hopper's like, is this matter? And he's like, no. Eleven is certain that she can do it, but the problem is this whole idea, this hive mind crap they've been talking about all season. It's not crap. I'm just using the wrong word. If the brain dies, the body dies, which means if they can close the gate, all the demodogs and horrible things are going to die, but so as well.
Right.
So bad the problem is we have to fix the situation for Will. And Joyce finally looks at him and realizes that everything has gone a certain way, which is that it doesn't like the heat. It likes the cold.
Right.
This is since like episode 4 or whatever Will's been saying this. And they've continued to
Owens
give it what it wants.
Owens presented this theory, right? In the beginning, he was like, it's like a virus when they were talking in the hallway back when. I don't even know what episode that was, but yeah.
So their plan is to make the host uninhabitable.
Sweet.
And they got to go far away.
Awesome.
Dude, I love the moment. And I love that it comes from Joyce of her being like, we've been giving it everything it wants. Like, why are we doing that? We should fucking change this. We shouldn't feed into what it's been asking. Because I like so much about Joyce that she is not the my baby kind of mom. Like, she's just like blinded by, but it's my child. Like, she's the one who actually chooses to get aggressive and is like, wait a minute, he's been possessed by this thing. And this thing is speaking through him saying, I need it cold. I like it cold. So fuck that. Like, let's not give it what it wants. Like, she's able to see through it and recognize it's not her kid. Like, nobody has to, like, calm her down or talk her through it. Like, she gets it.
Right.
Indeed.
Very important.
So, man, Joyce ain't fucking around, huh?
Sure ain't.
No. She gets in there hard.
I like this. We've seen this twice with Joyce, these distinctive shifts into, I'll salt the earth for my kid, right? And this is another moment, burn it out. She's pretty determined to fucking burn it out, man.
Hell yeah.
She's like, we're going to burn this. Burn her the way. And Hopper sends Will, Jonathan, and Joyce to the cabin, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
And Nancy tags along because Steve's like, it's all right. It's cool. And Nancy's like, fuck, why did I break up with this hot dude?
With his hair.
Look at his hair.
So they share.
You're lost, Nancy.
Great Steve moment.
Yeah. Nancy and Steve share a moment. They share a moment. It's okay, Nance. And then Steve walks away.
I will say to make some amends for being so shitty before.
Thank you.
I will say that the show fucking did get me in one way. Not that anybody knows this, but you guys do. I fucking hate Steve. Hated Steve so bad the first season.
You must have loved that ground and found.
Through the second season. But, you know, it did it to me, man. Like, the show did eventually turn you around. I don't love him. I still enjoy watching his face get fucking just absolutely blasted into meat.
Holy shit, man. That's such a hardcore scene.
But I do, like, the show did make me come around on Steve a bit.
There you go.
Say that.
I never thought I'd hear these words. When Josh begged to come on the podcast.
Tough to admit.
Just so he could shit talk Steve. Like, that's all he wanted to do.
Yep. That was my...
it was hard. Hard times.
Why do you hate Steve? Why did you hate him so much? I'm just curious.
I just hated his douchey face. He's just like his face and the act and the hair and the whole
got it.
The whole deliberate steveness of him.
The steveness of him is why I love him.
Got, you know, and I just, I don't like teenagers, you know, yeah, in general.
That,
like,
they're my wrong least, show, bud.
Well, no, I mean, honestly, like, they're, I mean, like, that, the tween thing, like, these kids are, like, kind of on the last side of, like, okay, you still have redeeming qualities. And then you're a shitty teenager. Like, I was a fucking piece of shit teenager. And then, like, eventually, maybe 5% of you grow into a human being worth knowing. You know?
Yeah. So
maybe.
He's just a shitty teenager.
No, he is not. He has grown into a wonderful young man.
Like I said, fucking won me over. Won me over.
That's intense.
I gotta say, pretty much from the jump this season, I started liking Steve a lot more just because he dropped the whole, ha, 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 like, I'm fucking Ferris Bueller. I always crack and joke. Like, he kind of dropped that. He just seemed a little more, like, reasonable and down to earth pretty much from the start of the season. Because last season, he was so, like, I'm being this guy. Like, yeah. It was awful. That's why we all hated him.
Yeah, hated him. We came around on him last season. We started this season. Our love for him grew. Next thing you know, I have to Google how old he is in real life to make sure it's okay to say that I want him to be my boyfriend.
Excellent.
He is playing a teenager.
And down the dark path we go.
Yeah. Never been there before.
Mr. Wheeler, tell me how you do it. That was real fucking dark.
Damn, wow. Just saying.
He's like 23 or 24.
He's 25. I've Googled him many a time. Okay.
Double checking.
You should see the wig she made me wear.
I sure do. Steve Harrington, boyfriend.
Anybody? No. All right, so Ms. Wheeler, where are we? Nancy. Nancy and Sarah. Mine's in the gutter.
Can we go back to Mrs. Wheeler?
Can we talk about her again?
Can we go back to Mrs. Wheeler for just a minute? Because, God damn, I bet that would be an enthusiastic lay.
Dude, she's got 2 decades of sexual frustration to unload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And she cried more.
Yeah. What is wrong with you people?
Billy's going to walk out of there looking like a raisinette.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, dear. So, where are we?
I don't even know anymore.
We're on. Mike tells 11 to be careful. They almost have a kiss. It's cute. Although it's weird to fist pump, like waiting for like 12-year-olds to kiss. Yeah. I just can't get into it.
I had the same problem. I was like, is it
I'm
okay
like, oh,
to ship?
They're gonna, and I'm like, what the fuck am I asking myself?
I do.
It's fucking weird. I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't care if you kiss, you weirdos.
It's real weird because I'm like, I think I ship these kids. And I'm like, can I do that? They're so young. It feels
it would be
real
fucking
weird.
So funny if they just started kissing and then like making out hard and like clutching at each other. And you watch people's faces like, oh, it's so cute. They're kissing. What the fuck?
Surely we'll cut away from this. 3 minutes passes. You're like, Jesus.
This is uncomfortable.
Is it illegal to watch kids kiss this long?
So weird. Yeesh.
Oh my God.
That'd be a good way to troll the old viewers.
Your Honor, I would just ship these kids. I don't want anything else to happen.
Oh, I can't.
So Nancy goes with Jonathan, Hopper and Eleven take off. The kids stay at the house with Steve. And then we get this moment with Hopper and Eleven, which is
best moment
pretty standout. It's pretty standout. This truck ride.
I agree with you, Jess.
Oh, I basically cried for like the second time.
So good. This is what I mean by this guy, this episode. Probably one of the best moments in this episode, probably. This is a long time coming, a good payoff, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And it's really good.
Sure absolutely.
Why do you look like some MTV punk? And I love the dad thing where he's like, I'm not mad. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Right?
Where you been?
All right, are you still my girl, Bevy?
Yeah. Oh,
oh, Jesus, come on.
Fuck.
You're a fucking monster.
So anyway, Eleven tells her that she went to see Mama in some nice man's truck.
That was so funny.
I love his a truck, a nice man, what?
Yes, his response is so good.
It's like, I can't yell at her because we're trying to make up, but oh my God.
She can also turn their bodies into jello.
Like, I know. She can implode his brain with her thoughts.
The only thing my favorite part of the scene was, and I want to know what you guys think, it's kind of, it's when he first says Sarah, says, you know, Sarah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
And she goes, brutal. Who's Sarah? And the way he reacts,
yes.
He's shocked.
Surprise.
She doesn't know. And then it's like, holy fuck, I've never.
Yeah, it's like, great.
He didn't even realize he'd never said anything about her.
Yes.
Like he is so good. I mean, Hopper is by far my favorite character.
Yeah,
he's my favorite actor in the show.
He's excellent. Yeah.
And that moment is so good. I backed it up twice and just watched that whole reaction again.
The way he looks at her when the name Sarah comes up is incredible. Yep, it's incredible. Yeah.
Gut me.
The way he talks about her too breaks my heart. He's not like, oh, she was my little. She goes, she's my little girl.
Oh,
she's
I know.
Talking about her in the present, like that's heartbreaking, guys. Oh God, it hurts.
And it's this explanation of he's like, yep, you know, the black hole it got her. I was scared it would take you too. Like all this protecting he's done, it's because he's like, I finally have this thing again. And he's so afraid to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he obviously feels some type of guilt over the death of his daughter, even though it had nothing to do with him.
A great moment too when Eleven reaches out to take his hand and empathizes with him by saying, I've been stupid too.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And this, man, you can so see it in her face. And Millie Bobby Brown's great here, too. Like, it's the first time, you know, because we talked about this a little bit when I was on the last episode, where she didn't really get to interact with Hopper much last season. Like, we didn't see them really do anything together. It was that he had an interest in trying to look out for her and, you know, waited for her by, you know, putting the food out in the snow and everything. And he's the one who found her and now has this relationship with her that they established. But I don't think she ever, you know, she saw him as somebody who stood up for her, helped her out, gave her things, you know, eventually became friends, but she's never really, I think, truly realized how much of a father figure he has actually been to her until this moment. Like you can see it almost click in her brain that, oh, he had a kid and he's looking out for me. This is like what a dad actually is. Like not like papa scientist monster. Like this is how it feels to look at somebody who you consider a father. And it's finally clicking in her head and she's empathizing with him for real. And it's such a good moment.
Yeah. And of course, he's like, I don't hate the whole look kind of thing. And they say bitch and whatever.
It's really cute.
And then we shoot over to Will's house. Boy, Will's house. So they decide that they're going to refrigerate this demo dog, which is hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
Dustin's fucking nuts.
It's an important scientific discovery. This isn't some mammal you just bury.
Dustin's so smart, though. No, this is so... Like, he's really thinking, he's like, this is this important thing. This is this demon thing we've never had. We better refrigerate it. It's so cute.
Dude, watch this shit. And the next season, the fucking monster, its only way into the dimension is through resurrecting the corpse of this fucking thing kept in a fridge. Come on.
Yeah, this is coming. This is coming back next season.
I think X-Files season 11 has a tie-in where they get called out.
Ooh,
a dog in a fridge.
Mulder and Scully, I love it.
Yeah, this it's the only one not in the Upside Down, so I'm sure it's going to be somehow tied to the Upside Down next season.
No,
right?
Dart's down in the little cave. I don't know though.
Isn't that kind
Dart's
of
dead. Dart's in the tunnel?
Right.
Oh, yeah, Dart's dead. Yeah,
I never figured out if the tunnels were in the Upside Down or not.
I think they sort of are.
They have floaty specs, which makes me think it's upside down.
They do.
But it's just a fucking hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like when you think about even in season one, when you see the gate inside the lab, in that little, like, I don't know, it's like the foyer to the gate, there's like little specks in that room too, but they haven't crossed into the gate into the upside down.
Yeah, I don't think it's upside down.
What makes me think it could be is when Hopper finds it in this season and they turn the camera around, almost indicating. Do you remember that shot where he goes down and they start spinning the fucking camera? And I'm like, oh, is he in the upside? Is this like part of it? They never explicitly say that.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I don't know if it is. But yeah, floaty specs could be.
Well, I mean, it's a very scientific
upside
term.
Upside down. Floaty specs. Upside down adjacent. I don't know.
What?
Maybe. Dude, in the chat, Deborah, my little cousin is best friends with the character or the actor that plays Dustin.
What?
Get him on the fucking show,
Deborah. How can we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, so we can listen to our filthy fucking mouth.
No, we'll be polite and we won't
I literally
swear.
Just thought, I was like, I don't know if I want him to know about this.
Can he introduce me to Steve Harrington, Deborah?
Jesus get honest. Christ.
Sorry, Dean. It's been fun.
You gonna read your romance book in the bath after this guy?
That's right. I'm taking a fucking beeline to Wheeler's house. Straighten her out real quick.
Hi, are you here for Nancy?
Oh no, I'm here for you.
Why are you wearing a mask?
You look just like my husband.
So welcome to the show, Gatton. Are you comfortable?
We'd love
Tell
to
me what it was like
someday.
To play Dustin.
Oh anyway. My God, I'm crying.
So Mike has a plan, guys. Even though they're supposed to be riding the bench.
Yeah, they sure are.
It's fucking Steve with his sports metaphors that the D&D club just doesn't get.
Yeah. I love how they call him, like, this isn't a sports game. And the, like, the exact, like, it's as silly to them as when they're like, it's a fucking mind flare.
Right. It's a mind flare.
Awesome.
So good.
Anyway, it's an elaborate distraction. They want to set fire to the hub, draw the demo dogs away from the gate to said hub. And that's when Steve's like, well, they're just going to kill us, right? So they all come here.
So that's when we die.
Especially me. Like, I'm the only person with, like,
adult
puberty
authority.
Muscle. Like, the rest of you fucks are going to get slaughtered. Like, I'm the only one who has, like, started to develop to be able to defend the tribe. The rest of
halfway,
you guys.
Halfway there to man shoulders, at least.
Yeah. But Steve's like, no, it's not going to happen. And then Billy pulls
up. With the most, like, mom thing where it's like a towel. Scene.
Oh, boy.
This is Josh's. Of course it is.
Well, the punching in the face. The
punching's pretty good.
Made me think of Fight Club.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wanted to strip something beautiful.
Oh.
Just the sounds of like...
Wet flap.
Yeah, wet flap.
Oh, I can't. I
of
hate
no
it.
Longer resisting face, just...
I can't. I hate it. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Kind of gives me a half a chip.
Hey, where's the fucking ref? This fucking thing is over.
I tapped.
This is so over.
Someone got a 13-year-old girl with a syringe full of God only knows what sedative to stop
this. But it's
this.
Just like, and I don't want to go on and on about
this guy's
it.
This guy's a good actor though, man. He's so good.
Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, it's
I do like
like
him.
The laughing after getting punched in the face. Like that works when you're Brad Pitt in Fight Club and you're a fucking fictional character. It doesn't, like, I don't know. It's just silly. Like you're almost like comic book villain. You know, it's just, he's so.
Over the top.
We're just not going to see eye to eye on this, kiddo.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it, man. I like that we know that this kid gets the shit kicked out of him by a grown man, and he's taking out all his rage on these small people who can't do anything about it. It's
because
like
he attacks
classic
Lucas first.
Fucking, of course, because he's a racist scumbag. We know this.
Yeah,
right?
I don't care what the internet says.
Yeah, but again, like done so weakly. Like you said, Dean.
Yeah.
Like, racists aren't racist.
That's
like that.
That's Stranger Things being safe, right? They're not gonna start saying the N-word on the second season of this show and expect us
at this beloved 12-year-old boy.
Right. They're just not gonna have
Jesus.
The which I can accept, but I just, you know, like I said, he's not gonna mince words in private.
No, I really
company.
I wish they'd gone with the deleted scene of Billy being outside Lucas's house burning a cross.
Jesus Christ.
He did say he went to the Sinclair's house first, if you remember correctly.
But then
when he went to the Wheelers, so God only knows what he did there.
And maybe
Ku Klux Klan shit on.
Maybe I'll change my tune in season three, but you're going to tell me he gets fucking injected with these drugs. She hits a bat in between his legs. And like, that's him, Max making Billy say like, okay, whatever, I'm on board while drugged up, fucking lying on the ground with a bat between his legs. Like that's going to change his fucking behavior. Like,
no,
really?
No. I agree with you on that,
it's
for sure.
Just fucking dumb.
Yeah. If I take the scene as a whole, though, if I don't mind Billy's arrival, I don't mind Billy attacking these kids, and I don't mind Billy being Billy and laughing and certainly beating the shit out of Steve, I could see that happening all day.
Yeah, I think you could have done this with literally like two or three brief appearances of Billy for the last 8 episodes. Instead of like a steady dose every episode after episode. That's all it is. I don't know.
I think they like this guy, this actor,
really
Dr. Montgomery, who I do think is a really good actor. And his, someone was talking about like audition tapes that you can watch on Beyond Stranger Things. Like I watched his audition tape, Dr. Montgomery, and it's fantastic. Like he's actually a good actor.
Yeah, he's good.
And dude, I'm sure it's a fun fucking role to play. I'm sure he has a great time doing this because I would rather play Steve, rather play Billy than Steve at this point because it's just such a fun. I'm sure the actor has a lot of fun doing the shit, but when I read articles and he's like, no, Billy's not racist or gay. And I'm like, he's both of those things. First of all, back up, sir.
Wickedly racist and wickedly gay.
When he said to Mrs. Wheeler, he said, Nancy's not my type. Yeah, because his type is Steve.
The chat's calling Billy a bully, but that's really selling it short. There's, trust me, There's bullies, and then there's like people attacking people. Like there's a difference there, man. Like bullies are, if you've ever dealt with bullies, then like this kid is beyond bully. Like in my opinion, like I think it's too little to say, oh, he's just a bully. I don't know about that. I think he's a fucked up person.
No, he's definitely beyond like being a bully.
He's just fucked up. And maybe he'll change. I don't know. Maybe he'll die. I don't know.
He'll change. Maybe he'll die.
Couldn't tell
Those
you.
Are the
I don't
options.
Know.
He's going to change or die. That's it. We're done.
I didn't.
Or
become when he showed up, I didn't expect him to beat the shit out of Steve. I was like, oh, they're just going to overwhelm the bully and yay.
When he grabbed Lucas, I was like, what the fuck?
That was brutal.
Yeah, it was shocking to me. I'm like, this is like really dark shit for the show.
Yeah, for him to go to Lucas, I think is the show saying it without having to say it.
But they're not. They're going to say, no, we went to Lucas because Lucas is the one Max hangs out with and he's protecting his sister. And the show is being real fucking fuckery about this shit. And I don't like it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I don't want to go by though when he first gets out of the car and he's like, oh, I didn't think I'd see you here, Harrington, blah blah. He does bring up one actually decent point. He's like, you know, this whole situation's kind of give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
My 13-year-old sister goes missing all day, and then I find her at a stranger's house and with you, and then you lie to me about it. I'm like, he's kind of not wrong. Like, that's actually, yeah. Why are you this 17-year-old at a some random house with my 13-year-old
in the woods.
In
the woods.
With no adults there.
You see all the other kids hiding in there. Like, this is just fucking Steve's kid sex dungeon. Like, who knows? He's kind of not wrong in this situation. But his reaction to it is pretty awful.
But everything else is wrong.
Yeah. Outside, like, here's what I will say. I mean, the needle thing was kind of dumb. It would have been cool if they just cracked him on the head and took off. Like, when he was, you know, ground and pounding Steve. If they would have just cracked him with a bat or something and took off, I would have liked that more than the whole like submit thing at the end. That's definitely a part of it was a little goofy.
I didn't like that. I agree with you. Her grabbing the syringe, like the sedative and using that, like that's believable to me too. Like she's a little girl. Like the idea of her like picking up a bat and swinging at her brother's head.
I definitely
see
Max of all these kids doing something because she grew up
doing something.
You know, I would rather see her crack him.
That's what I'm saying.
Even to me, just her knocking him out with a sedative, it was her like threatening him with the bat and that stuff that I felt like this isn't going to work because we're not going to go into next season. It's going to be a whole new world here.
Right. What they should have done, because like I said, I think Josh has made his points clear. And since nobody else is making them, I'm making some. And that's, I don't mind him showing up, but the very end of this scene definitely could have been retooled to be less corny, I guess. And that's, you crack him in the head, you take the keys, you take off, and you don't need that moment at the end where he gives her a look and they look at each other and he just doesn't show up to the dance. Like, just leave it be. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he wasn't at the dance.
I know, but my point is, he doesn't, you know, she's going out to the dance and he obviously knows who she's going with and he doesn't do anything about it. That would have been fine without, oh, I remember my sister threatening me with a bat. Like, that's silly. Like, I like
it
if
scared of her.
He's in a fucking rage. Like, all he sees when he's pounding Steve's face in is his father, right?
Right.
100%. Okay. That's what he's seen in his fucking head. It's like Tommy Morrison in Rocky V. He's like, every guy I punch is my father, right? He's one of those I'm serious. That's how
I know. You're right.
A lot of these fighters are like that. And he's like, I'm just going to keep punching this guy's face in until somehow it makes me feel better about my father beating my ass. And then he gets cracked with a bat. Pink. And then they're like, grab his keys and go. And they leave him there fucking smashed in the head. They're not going to kill him, obviously.
Right.
And then
we
don't need to see him at the end of the episode. And then next season, we see how this plays out.
I like a Junk Fist's reimagining of the scene. I would have preferred it if he didn't give her any satisfaction. He just passes out. She goes to hit him. Lucas stops it. But then at the end, he gives her a look of respect. I like his scene.
That's not bad.
I think he's got the.
I'm just thinking in the moment you're watching this kid get his face just destroyed, and she just reacts and smashes him one.
And that,
you know what I mean?
All makes sense to me. But I think she doesn't have to smash him. She can use the sedative too.
Yeah, that's pretty calm thinking.
She's
for
being
a child.
Clever.
Right. I could see a bat to the head, take the keys, take off, whatever. I'm not going to stubbornly and blindly say the whole scene is amazing and I love Billy. Like I just don't hate the scene. I don't like the very end of the scene.
So
you know
she could
saying?
Date Harrington.
Well, you said you like Divorce.
Just that
in my prenup.
Just that ass. Just that ass, Billy.
I kind of want to be on his basketball team just so I can give him a good game. You know, a little
good game.
The end of the...
Just a good game. How's your melon?
That's like slapping Van Damme's ass in 88.
Oh, my God.
Break your hand.
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
break your hand on that. That's a granite ass.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So Billy goes down, and they take the keys and they fucking take off. Was it Temple of Doom homage? The blocks on the fucking... gas pedal member.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, is this a guy who want this? This is Short Round driving this car?
Short Round.
That's what I thought of.
Oh, okay, Dr. Jones.
The most racially Asian progressive character.
Yeah. So stupid. Anyway. So anyway, they take off. And where do they end up, guys? Josh, where do we go from here?
Well, this is kind of, we got a few things moving at once.
Cabin lab.
Joyce and Co are getting to the cabin. They're getting the fuego ready. I like how these next few sequences all are cool. Like this is probably my favorite part of the episode. Like overall, like my favorite scene might be Hopper and Eleven, but this, I mean, obviously this is the building for the climax. Sure. Yeah. But they do it really well with these three different groups.
So good.
Oh, it's so well paced and built. So you get the Joyce and Co getting all those fire stuff ready as Eleven and Hopper show up. Kind of that little quick load up scene outside, very like Resident Evil looking towards this building and like the noises and like some lights flashing. They're getting ready to go in.
Good call.
And then the kids driving, you know, having some crazy driving shenanigans is a little comic relief with Steve coming to in the back. I guess that when he looks over at Mike and he goes, Nancy? I guess that was ad libbed.
Was it? That's fantastic.
Yeah, cool. Which is pretty cool.
Hey, then, real quick.
Yeah.
They should be a little more fucked up.
Steve,
real quick, dude. Hey, grade three concussion, TBI.
Real quick, your nose is a smashed potato, a tomato on your face. Holy shit, yeah. Man.
Yeah, you're.
You got pounded by man strength. Dude. You know, Billy hit that man strength era, and you're just not there, and he's just to the fucking wooden floor.
Broken eye orbits, fucking jaw, teeth.
Micro fractures all across the face.
Yeah.
So you want to be a fighter. So yeah, that's bad news bears, but whatever, it's fine. He's young, he's spry, he bounced back.
Dude, his terror at realizing Max is driving and
dude,
how fast he drives is so good.
I love how all the other kids are
still like fine with it because they don't know, they're still young enough to be like, no, this is fine, we can handle a car. And he's like, oh my god, we're gonna die, we're gonna all wreck in this fucking car,
especially a muscle car, you know.
Yeah. Seriously,
I like that she insists on driving fast despite not needing to. I mean, there's some silliness to the scene, but it just fits well and it's fun.
It's cool that we saw her. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a kid driver who we know can't really drive or handle a car like that isn't fucking up, and they show her taking out mailboxes and shit. She's just all over the road. Yeah. Makes sense.
And then they get there and she says, like I said, I'm a Zoomer.
Right.
Which isn't a class, clearly.
Guy,
clearly.
I just want you to know.
She'd probably be a scout, to be honest. Scouts are really based about movement. Get that skirmish bonus.
If it was Spy Hunter, you'd call her a wheelman.
Wheelman, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God.
Anyway, they... all night. We'll be here all night. I like that these kids are wearing fucking swimming goggles.
So good.
Swimming goggles and...
bandanas over the
bandanas, man.
That'll work.
This is awesome. This is like some Frog Brothers shit out of Lost Boys.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. I love it.
So they're going to burn the fever out of Will. They strap him down. That's going to be intense. 11 has some flashbacks. Don't forget about that. Car ride, of course, you already talked about. And then we come back to Will. What were you going to say, Matt?
Well, I was going to say, like, Mike at first was really the only person to remember, like, wait a minute, there's dozens and dozens of these Demodogs. Like, there's no way Hopper and Eleven, just the two of them, even with Eleven's mind powers and Hopper's, you know, guns, like, you can't cut through all those things. Like, he just brings up kind of an obvious point of we have to draw away those things. Like, there's no way they're penetrating through all that defense of the lab without it. And, it was cool that he remembered that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the internet, a lot of websites, they give a lot of times Winona catches a bad rap for her role in this. But I thought it. You know what I really liked about this particular episode? We know how important her son is to her. She's a mother, correct? We also know that she's seen her son go through terrible, terrible things. And all she's ever wanted to do is protect and shield her son from all these bad things, right? But now we see her have to make a choice to really make her son feel pain. Like, she has to make that decision in this episode to make him, despite wailing from Jonathan and Nancy, despite
mainly Jonathan, what a wuss he is.
The horrible shit. I mean, he's watching his brother in extreme pain.
A little rough there, Jessica.
But it's awesome to see. Not only does she stiffen her resolve, she turns the fucking heat up. And that's just a very big character moment for Joyce that I really like here. I really like that she has to put a lot, because we've established what she thinks about her son, like any mother would. We've established what she's been through, and now we have to see her deliberately make him not just feel discomfort, but outright pain. I mean, it's dangerous what she's doing, but it's time, and it's, man.
And dude, I love that in that moment when she's watching, you know, Will wakes up and he's like, let me go. In that moment, we cut to her face and then we cut to her remembering, you know, like Bob kind of playfully Newby. Dancing with Bob. Yeah. Mm. With his Halloween costume. And that's when she's like, fuck it, I'm turning the heat up. Like, I like that. It's in a way, a moment of like a little bit of selfishness of like, I lost something too. I'm losing, you know, this is damaging me and my life and the things I want too. So fuck it. I'm going to make this work. Like, I think she's earned it, man.
Yeah, I don't know if we needed to see Bob, but
I liked when it showed Bob. It was emotional for me.
Because I feel like you're saying, because Winona Ryder's not going to convince you otherwise, we need to show this. Like, this is an example of flashback stuff I don't care for. Because I'm like, we know, like, we've watched the show. We don't need that reminder. But that's just me. Whatever.
I like it, though, just because of how, I mean, that's how people are like in those moments that, you know, and it's kind of like it's a thing that doesn't actually match. Like, you're in the middle of this very horrible situation with your child, but the thing you're actually thinking about is your boyfriend that you just lost. Like, that's what is kind of also on her mind. I like that we just,
why is it though? Why she, I don't buy that. She would just be thinking about her fucking child. She lives
I don't
in,
think so, man.
Really,
I've had
dude?
So many moments in life where, like, the weird.
When
the
you're
thing
fucking
you're
trying to exercise
about.
A demon out of your child?
Yeah, but dude, if you're trying to exercise a demon, just died too. You might be thinking about
one
him.
One at a time, motherfuckers.
Sorry, God.
Getting heated.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I mean, I like that. In moments that are like this, like chaotic and wild, the stuff that actually comes to your mind is outside of the moment at times. And it is it's the thing that hurts her the most in this moment. You know, her son's still there. He can be saved and she's trying to save him. But like, Bob is this total loss for her.
Yeah, it's
like
not.
It. And she just lost him too, which we cannot forget. This just happened. Like, could you imagine if your very close, not just a casual person that you're dating, but someone that you were like loved and were talking about moving away with and having like your family be a part of their lives. And literally like 2 hours ago, that person died in a very gruesome manner. It's going to be on your fucking mind.
I think we're getting off track with what the argument is though.
All right. Well,
I think Matt's, so maybe I can help. I don't think anyone is doubting that she's not thinking about Bob. I just don't know if the flashback was necessary. I think she's thinking about fucking 100 things. I think her kid is most important. Maybe, and then that's probably why they do a quick shot of Bob. I'm sure we can, I guess my point is Winona Ryder's a good actor. The show is well written. I know that she's probably thinking of all the horrible shit that's been going on. And now she has to really like put her kid under this duress. I think if you say she's thinking about Bob, then it almost cheapens that thing with
that's
her kid.
Fair.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's like
what
her think. Performance can convince us that she's thinking about these things. Like, we don't need a flashback.
I'm sure fair, Bob entered her mind. Like, I don't think that's in question, but mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows?
If anything, she has shown us and the show has shown us, but especially her performance, that she is a amazingly devoted mother.
Correct.
And she will do anything for Will. So just let her fucking act that out.
Correct.
I mean, I like seeing Bob from like a, Bob. Yeah.
Bob's
but,
the shit.
But it is kind of like a little bone to just throw at the audience.
It is. Oh, Bob.
But whatever.
Yeah,
I do. I love this moment though. I love that. I don't, you know, what Jonathan's reaction of just, I can't fucking watch my brother suffer anymore.
Of course.
Is great. And like her just like, nope, pedal to the metal. And then when he gets a hand free and starts fucking choking
dude.
Her. And those black fucking lines
that
are coming up.
Awesome. That black, dude, black vein shit creeps me out.
Dude, this is one of the best like horror moments
big
of
time.
The show.
Big time.
So much like any type of like exorcism type movie. Those creepy, like The Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, all that creepy shit. Like, man, it's very much a horror movie. Yeah.
And you know what? You know what this has that those movies don't? A relationship with the character prior to the possession, right?
Right.
Of,
yeah.
Most so of those movies, right? Most of those movies miss that. We're just like, oh, this girl's acting weird. She's possessed. We don't really know her. We don't care. In this, we know Will. We've been rooting for Will. We've been trying to hope Will can have something nice happen to him for a change.
Help him.
And then it's like, oh, God, poor Will. God damn it. Will, you son of a bitch. But when he grabs her and he just has that upside down strength bonus, just, you know, like,
Jesus.
Plus to his roll.
Jesus.
It's a template, Matt. That's how it works when you get, you know, it's like getting lycanthropy. You just put a template over the character.
Shadow possessed, upside down powers. But the guys down in the tunnel is great. Them walking around is hilarious. Let's talk about Dustin getting hit with a spray.
Oh, he just panics. He's like, I'm okay.
It's in my mouth.
And he's like, oh, no, I'm good.
Dude.
When he said it's in my mouth, I said, we can't do this again.
I can't have Dustin be this.
We can't have season 3 be this. Please. I was worried.
Please, no. Yeah.
I was worried.
But dude, he still has that prepubescent voice crack when he's
wicked.
It's so fucking good. Oh, I love it.
It's awesome. They arrive at the hub. Let's drench it, Mike says. Mike's ready for some blood, too.
Yeah. I love how that's one thing I liked about this convergence of all these different storylines all at the same time. You see how like angry everybody is. Like Mike is fucking pissed and Joyce is fucking pissed. And it's like they all are wanting this to conclude in such a fierce way. Like they want this to be over and get back to their lives. Like it's like I get the feeling that
Billy
they're all
was mad
so
too. Sorry.
Okay.
Sure was.
Gotta bring in Billy.
I'm just being a shithead. I'm just being a shithead. Go ahead.
But no, I mean, I just like how intense they all are about like just wanting to get their lives back and like push through
for sure.
Really hard.
They've been through enough.
Enough.
So,
enough. Wow.
Jonathan losing faith. Mom isn't working. Will starts to tear at his restraints. Back in the lab, Hopper and Eleven move forward. They hear slathering noises. I wrote.
Well, you already skipped over. You skipped over Owens.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, they find the doc.
You skipped over Owens.
Oh, fuck. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Owens is alive. Yay.
Owens. By the way, he fooled me, that son of a bitch.
Great job on the show. Casting, writing.
Dude.
Yep.
They're like, we're going to troll all the Aliens fans
who
are watching
God.
This.
So hard.
Right?
Yes.
Fucking
so
bastards.
Good.
Yeah.
He only knew the only way to get it through customs was to get one of those things and impregnate us.
And I do like, oh man, if they try to do some double fuckery next season, I will have a real problem with that.
I will too.
But he's going to be like, I don't know, working a newspaper kiosk next season or something.
I mean, the best part is that, you know, obviously it's Paul Reiser. That's so cool of a way to do it. But also, like, I do like that it's, yes, it was this fucking weird government lab. But when it's like when it's overly tropey and like the government, the military, they're just these like completely evil, like everybody's a fucking monster.
Of course.
It kind of like is like,
it's stupid.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Stupid, yeah.
Yep. The bad guys, right? It's like, no, like, all right, you got this doctor who fucking went way too far.
Yeah, Brennan went rogue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, cool. Yeah, I like that they did that. And
because the military goes in and shuts them down at the end.
Right. Well, of course, only because they get exposed.
Yeah.
That's thanks for Murray.
They're like, oh, no, we didn't know about this. Just shut this fucker down. Heads are going to roll.
Yeah, save all the paperwork, though. Save the research.
They'll be up in front of the fucking...
You Nazis, you terrible people. Put that stuff in the trucks. Put that in the trucks.
Yeah, these pieces of shit put in the trucks.
Oh, look at these awful experiments. Look at all this paperwork. Oh, this is terrible, terrible stuff you've done.
Let's go ahead and type these up. Get them on some Excel sheets. Just think about how bad they are later.
Who are these terrible German scientists? Get them on a plane to America real quick.
Change his name. That's Charles. That's name. Todd.
Yeah.
No, it's not Werner. You don't know Werner.
Get him a flight to Brazil.
I have become death.
Wow.
Destroyer of worlds. So anyway, by the way, Reiser's dad joke, my NFL career is over or something. What does he say?
Oh, that's at the very end. Yeah.
The very end, yeah.
Oh, that's right. But So, dude, let's talk about upside the kids. We got all that. Hopper and Eleven, they're moving around. If I know, maybe we can help her lead a normal life. That was cool.
Right? Yeah.
Ugh. So
I just like, I was like, oh, hey, by the way, remember this girl you've been looking for a year? Here she is. Been hiding her. Ha ha. Joke's on you.
They did skip
Owen's
over.
Face, man.
They skipped over the part where Eleven and Hopper had to walk over the fucking ripped out carapace of Bob.
I know.
Unfortunately.
Did you note that? He must have been consumed wholly.
Yeah.
Right, I think they just ate him. Oh, delicious.
Delicious hobbits.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Fucking Shelob wins. This is the alternate version.
Why can't we have some meat? What about their legs?
Hobbitses.
They don't need their legs.
So Hopper treats Owens wins. Anyway, tunnels, Dustin, we did that. Will is really going bonkers. And then we kind of come back to the lab. And that's when I said slathering noises. Uses the knife reflection to see all the demo dogs.
Sounds like a movie I've seen before with dinosaurs in it.
Yep. That's some
or Die Hard.
Yeah.
I don't watch that movie. Sorry, bye. It means nothing to me.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Bye.
So you're going to toss out the original just because you hated the second one. Okay.
Sure am.
So I wrote this. I wrote kind of this next section of notes, like triple threat. And I just sort of put them all concurrently, like all the way through as we edit around. So we'll just kind of run through this. And of course, stop me as I go. And we'll talk about some of these. But Hop rounds the corner. Will is in a hell of a battle. And holy shit, Nancy. With a hot poker?
Yeah, human business.
Yeah.
Take that, kid.
Yeah.
Was that some resentment? Like, is that some old,
Nancy
like...
Nancy hates kids.
Some old school...
You know, because the monster doesn't like heat. Really? You jabbed a hot poker into his fucking ribs. Could you just lay it on his forearm?
No.
Just put the side of it? You gotta stab him in the lung?
She's got some shit to get off her chest, man.
Seriously, she's got a lot of problems.
That one time when I was having sex with Steve, and then like, yeah, guys ruined it. I don't know a problem.
Billy wants to punch Steve until he feels better, and she wants to stab Will until she feels better about her relationship.
Can't wait till she's putting fucking cigarettes out on her forearm in season 3.
Dude, I think Nancy and Billy are a match made in heaven.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh, god. Oh man.
Good lord.
I want that now.
I want that.
I want to see Jonathan, his shifty little like, but why dancing?
Nancy does kind of suck.
Oh man, that's good.
She's like, Nancy? I got a taste, and I think I can taste better.
Jonathan's all like, Mom. but Will's really hurting. He's sweating, and then he kind of. Says mom ? I like that. Like, why are you here? Where am I? That's cool. I like that disorientation. Man, he looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like a Sick Kid movie.
Oh God.
You know those movies where they do a sick kid? Yeah. And it's like, Lifetime, why would you watch this movie?
This is like Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Fuck, oh, man. God. It's brutal. He looks so bad. So anyway.
I just want to play one more D&D game with my friends in the basement.
That is a whole Lifetime genre. Hey, watch this sad sick kid die.
It's so fucking brutal.
Hooray.
Like,
welcome to Lifetime.
Like, who watches that shit?
A lot of people, sadly.
So Jonathan radios Hopper.
Close it.
Sure does.
Except he says it in that tentative kind of Jonathan way.
Close it.
That's good.
Are you sure?
Eleven and Hopper head down. Yeah, are you fucking sure, Jonathan?
Should we close it?
Eleven and Hopper head down the elevator, and this is some badass-looking cinematography shit here. Meanwhile, Mike gets grabbed while in the tunnels. So
and
I was
Steve
like,
Steve busts out his Mad Max fucking. Well, actually, you know what? His Escape from New York bat is what he really gets.
Yeah, no,
he smashes the fucking tentacle
right on. Eleven does some telekinetics, so we're doing this like Lucas thing, the triple back and forth space battle, ground battle, lightsaber battle,
yeah.
All at once kind of thing. And then Steve rescues Mike. Dart shows up.
Sure does.
I rolled my eyes.
I bet Matt really liked this part. Matt was real high on Dart.
I think this might be a part where I join the Josh side, and I say this is a little eye rolly to me.
When you were on that previous episode, I had a little bit of a problem with the Lucas. I mean, I'm sorry, the Dustin and Dart thing was a little bit much right from the get-go.
It was a concern, like it was going to be the whole season, right?
Well, I just mean like how over the top he was,
right?
Protective, and it was just like, this doesn't make sense. And then this was,
there had to be some payoff to it, and this is it. Stupid, but. They got to do what they got to do.
There you go. He offers Dart Nugent goodbye, buddy.
But here's how easy it is to manipulate me as an animal lover. It made me sad at the end when we showed fucking Dart.
I know,
dying.
Me of too. Course.
I'm like, I'm fucking so easy to fucking do this.
Yeah,
too.
I know. That
God damn it.
With no. That, was it a Three Musketeers rapper next to him?
I didn't feel that. I didn't feel shit at all. I was like, yeah, fuck those crazy demons. Oh. They're monsters.
I was sad about Dart, and again, I guess I'm also too much of an animal lover because I was like, oh, Dart remembers him. And
oh, you guys are animal lovers? I wonder how many of those cat parts are still digesting in his stomach.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Muse.
Well, cats are not as good as dogs.
Sir?
So.
Oh, God. Out of here.
Is this a leave seventh this grade studio. Argument?
Plus, my dad can beat up your dad.
Do you think a Bengal tiger against three chimpanzees? All right.
Oh, my God.
Yes, a Bengal tiger would win. But Eleven continues her magic. She has some memories of being told to channel her anger.
Use the dark side point. Watch
Use
out.
Use the dark side oh, point. Double her, doubled her roll.
We get to see the sister again.
Meanwhile, the kids are running. They hear the demo dogs coming. And this is fucking intense. When they just blow by him, like...
Yeah, that was
that
awesome.
Was cool. I was like, wow.
It reminded me of something. I'm like, I've seen something like this before, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
I might... Is it, you guys are going to make fun of me because it's Boromir related?
Of course it is.
Do you remember when Boromir gets hit with the arrows and he's not dead and they just blow by him?
Yeah.
Because they're like, he's fucking dead.
He drops to his knees.
He's down and then they just fucking blow by him. It's so, they like don't care. It's awesome.
Brutal.
So good.
That's what I thought of. I was like, oh, they're just running by him. They don't even care.
This was a good moment though. Like there was some good tension as they were trying to get the kids out of the tunnel. All these
here's a bummer. So here's a bummer. Now, I'm going to pause the commentary right here to say, Jessica was accidentally, and if you've been listening, you probably know this, was spoiled that Bob died.
Yes.
And this was spoiled by somebody who had seen the season in completion. And when I knew that was the major spoiler, I knew nobody else was going to die, logically.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think that way.
So I was like, I know no one's dying this episode because the person who accidentally spoiled it would have said, would have probably spoiled another death too, right?
In God, you have sentence. Such little faith in her.
No, but I'm just saying I have faith in the way people have normal conversations. And that's what you'd normally do. You'd be like, oh, Bob, yeah, but what about when Steve died? When
oh,
he was
God.
Fighting off the demo guard so he'd climb out of the tunnel. I knew I was like, no one's going to die. I kind of just knew no one was going to die. This episode was kind of a bummer. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to watch anybody die.
Wanted to watch some beloved characters die.
Yeah. I only watched Matt Anderson's internet connection die. It's been pretty good, actually. So anyway.
It's been good.
It's been good, yeah. Meanwhile, the kids are running. They quickly run by Steve and Dustin. The demo dogs do. Eleven has a double nosebleed. We've never seen that, have we? That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Actually.
Like streaking blood.
Like real, like, yeah, real, like, damn.
Yeah, like the eyes kind of like
yeah, man, her eyes
sunken.
Crazy.
Yeah. She looks like he just and left Hot Topic.
Kind of started floating. That's the thing,
that
too.
That was dope. Yeah, that was cool.
And then as he's fighting him off, you know, Hopper's behind her, which is pretty badass.
It's cool.
Even though he was using an M4, which wasn't around in 1984.
Yeah. I kept thinking that too. I was like, that looks a little more modern M16. Than 1984.
Yeah.
Would have been an M16.
But it was badass. And then how he just stops and looks over his shoulder as this, like,
dude.
He's seen her do stuff before, but even him, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am
like
hoping
when you hit, it's like when you get third level spells.
I'm hoping that they take this. This could be a really interesting arc of like the whole dark side thing. I think that's something they really might dabble with.
I think so too.
Like in season 3, because ultimately I don't really know that they did much great with her beyond like the her and Hopper thing. You know, if you're in the camp that the sister thing didn't pan out awesome, I think that's the next really interesting way you could go.
Yeah. Yep.
And I like the idea of the mind flayer monster, you know, the big bad.
The shadow monster.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of it still being behind the door and starting to, like, this is his introduction to Eleven. Like, I kind of hope that next season is the monster wanting to use her, like, realizing that she has so much power. From their, you know, very limited interaction through this gate, that it's like, you know, figures out that she's the key. I feel like that's what's going to happen here.
Interesting. I was thinking it'd be cool too if they did something like stripper power, like the bad guys start thinking of things to do, and they could somehow nullify her and make her like a normal person for a little while. I don't know. Just throwing shit at the wall here.
And also, for half a second, I thought you meant stripper power. And I was like, where are you going with this, Dean? Stripper power.
Wow.
Wow.
Nah, you went there, not me. You're on the list, not me, pal. So anyway, yeah, she floats streams, starts raining demon dogs, right? Do you like that copper switch of the 12 gauge?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved
so
it.
So sweet.
Yeah. Actually catches ran that out one of ammo. In midair.
Yeah. Hopper hugs 11. You did good, kid. You did so good. They hug.
Oh, that's sweet. That moment.
And then there's a really great shot of the blue door being inert. And then in the foreground is the elevator with the blue behind him. I was like, that looks so cool. Oh, yeah. Looks awesome, man.
Palette really changed.
Yeah. And now we talk about the epilogue that's divisive. Is that the word I'm looking for?
For some people.
Yeah, I mean.
What the fuck?
Not that. Maybe I oversold how. It just, I like every individual part of this. I like seeing all the characters. It was kind of a lot. Like overall, it just kind of keeps going and going.
It definitely does.
But I mean, there's not any part of it that I'm particularly like, oh, this is eye-rolly. I mean, I did like it all. It was just a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
You know what's really kind of interesting that this show does? It treats each of these as if you could end the show here.
Right.
You get that impression, right? Like if Netflix is like, we're done, they'd be like, cool, it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, both seasons were that way. They really do have a complete ending.
Right.
I think season one was especially designed to be like that. I think season one was a story that, I mean, ultimately, I think the story in and of itself, season one will always be a stronger story than I think, no matter what they do. Because I just think it's tight. It's perfect. It was beautiful. You know, great end cap.
Yep.
Like Junk Fist was talking about in the chat, I do kind of agree. I think Elle's sacrifice of herself at the end was a very powerful thing. And it's hard to ever surpass that by like, oh no, she's back, like, and whatever. but yeah, I didn't mean to make it seem like I was really anti this whole epilogue thing. It was kind of like, you know, the end of fucking Return of the King. Everybody can make jokes about how there's way too many fucking endings, but I've never fucking skipped past any of it.
Right,
you know,
right.
I watched the movie a bunch.
I love the power of Aragorn sticks his tongue down Arwen's throat. My favorite. I'm not gonna miss it for all the tea in China. So
we see the
later,
lab get closed up, yeah, and all dope. Of the soldiers pouring out with the fucking reporter happily drinking his booze on the side of the road.
Murray.
Yep.
Gives cool. him the
Getting
finger.
Flipped off.
Some Section 31 shit. Barb's funeral, so she gets some closure as we
finally
hear.
The internet can shut up about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still no body.
Oh, shit. That's funny. Residents thought they lived in a safe town, that news lady voice.
Mm-hmm.
Hopper goes to the bar. Owens is there, and this is where
like a
Owens,
restaurant,
whatever, has his dad joke about his football career being over. Birth certificate. What'd you think of that?
Oh, I cried.
Matt, what'd you think of that?
I liked it. I for once, she's getting something she deserves, even though that she still has to wait a year before getting to go out in the world again. I don't know. That was a little stuff. I'm like,
just one day.
Still fucking waiting. Yeah, no, I'm saying she gets one day in the world, and then she gets to go back and hide.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
I think that was just kind of good advice.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the lab slows down, but probably smart to not just check her in for fucking day one of school.
Yeah.
Spring semester.
True.
You get some fucking KGB Nikolai guy coming after you, trying to grab her, you know?
Especially when she starts fucking throwing down every other, like, semi-cute girl who looks at Mike.
Yeah. It's going to be real awkward.
Just popping heads off. So, Will learns how to dance for the ball. So, yeah, this is all the character stuff. Lucas rehearsing in the mirror is gold.
I love it.
It's so good.
Dude, hey, want to dance? Man. We should get out there. Look, the shit he's saying is so
and he knows
rough.
It's dumb. He's like,
I love this song. He's like, ugh. That's awesome. He's so a little fucking button-up tucked in. Kid's adorable.
And his fucking just evil little sister watching.
Oh, I love her.
Adorable. Oh, like, God. Monster.
I can't wait to see more of her next season, let me tell you.
What else happens here? Dustin.
Fucking hair gel. Flock of Seagulls thing going on.
Uncle. Hair gel? You mean fucking Farrah Fawcett hairspray that was recommended to him by Steve?
Yep.
Beautiful.
So ridiculous.
What a great male role model.
He sure is.
Just don't care. There you go. Thanks, Jess.
Someday a guy that puts Farrah Fawcett hairspray in his hair is going to come up against a kid who got beat up by his dad. And it's not going to go well.
It's not going to go great.
And one of them face you got looks your like ass hamburger kicked, helper. You put up a good thing.
His face looks like the end of Platoon. Just fucking, just a mess. Blood and
but
guts
this poor
everywhere.
Kid, poor fucking Dustin. He's got he's got a bow tie and suspenders. He was doomed from the start. Nobody told him.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, maybe be a good role model and be like, dude, don't be that confident because this is not going to go well. You know,
Steve just
nobody ever does that.
Confidence, you know, just trying to be a good older role model and to really help him out and to be kind.
Will, call him Zombie Boy.
Oh,
I tell you, man, that Will. I don't know what's floating around on that head. Yeah. He's going to be into some weird shit.
Serious PTSD.
Oof, man.
No. I just want you to lay here. Don't do anything.
In high school, his name's going to start circulating. Just saying.
Wow.
Going to be in some weird shit, that kid.
Yeah, Will Byers got a trench coat. That's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be real popular.
For sure, hide in the library.
Oh.
Anyway, Dustin asks Stacy to dance. She laughs and walks away.
Oh, it's brutal.
I never thought I'd call a 13-year-old a cunt, but she is one.
Wow.
He keeps trying, no luck. Dustin sits on the bleachers and he cries. He tries to hide his crying, and Nancy does him a solid here.
She sure does.
Because she's
the only good thing she does all season.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say that out loud? Whoops.
Other than stabbing Will with a hot poker, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She's like, I stabbed one kid, I'll dance with the other kid. It's the only way.
She got stabbed with Jonathan's hot poker.
Yeah, she sure did.
I'll be here all up,
dude. And Murray loved it. Yeah.
Oh, this middle school dance shit is.
Dude, can I say something Jonathan said in the goddamn chat? Because it's funny. Imagine you're one of these soldiers, you're cleaning all these dead personnel who are probably your buddies, and you're not going to funerals, and when you leave, there's an asshole in a lawn chair smirking at you.
He fucking hates Murray.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
Good.
Fuck
that's it. I don't mind
so
it.
Good.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, Nancy and Dustin dance. Everyone watches, of course, because, you know, they're all built like fucking boards. And Nancy has.
She's the pretty older girl.
Yeah. Outside.
Nancy's got what? A cups? What are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
She's got the ass of a 12-year-old Asian boy.
Ooh.
Wow.
Sign me up. Outside, Joy stands outside to give Will space.
Didn't mean it in a good way.
I know.
Wow.
Joyce and Hopper share a cigarette, and they have a nice little intimate moment together.
I love them. I still love Bob, but I love them.
That feeling never goes away. Every day it gets a little easier. He's trying to console her on losing a loved one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike also sits alone, but we know this is coming, right? It was telegraphed by, I think it was important to telegraph it too. We know it's coming, but we also don't want the show to feel like it's tricking us into thinking it's not coming, which is probably why Hopper says one night, you're going to give her one night. Because as we see a fucking next scene, a dance, we're like, oh, that's the one night, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is it. It's the important night for her.
Yeah.
Well, because in the first season, Mike asked her to go to the snowball dance with him too.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Yeah, I have a couple little things like that.
I totally forgot about that shit. Nice Damn, work.
That's right.
Oh, I know.
She was all like, what's a dance?
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah, exactly. So the police, I'll be watching you. 11 and Mike see each other. You look beautiful. Do you want to dance? See that? Easy. That's all I got to say, Dude. Kids.
Yes. I love the honesty of their whole exchange is so nice. Like all the other kids are just like fumbling around. Like we didn't even talk about Lucas just turning to Max and be like, so isn't this great? This is nice. And she's just like, what? Do you want to dance or what? Like everybody is fumbling so hard, but Mike and Oliver are just so nicely honest of like, do you want to dance? I don't know how. Well, we want to figure it out. Okay.
Also, that's it. Max that's with the it. Aggressive kiss. Shocker. She grew up in that household. She's the aggressor.
Wow.
Didn't see that one coming.
Wow.
Didn't see her making Lucas. The first move when it comes to intimacy. Growing up with Billy. Didn't see that coming.
Oh, cool. Can't wait to tell everybody about how he lost Virginia at 12.
Oh, my God.
God.
Well, they're all dancing. Everything's going well, and then Hawkins' middle turns upside down with the shadow monster looming mad. He's a mad shadow monster.
Sure is.
I'm pissed.
He's so mad at that little kid that shut his gate.
Those meddling kids ruined it again.
Like, let's get out of here. It's not a shadow monster after all. Take off his mask. It's Dr. Brenner.
Damn it. And I would have gotten away with it too, you dirty kids, if you didn't pull my mask off. Yeah. That's it.
Everybody wants to talk about this, the hair elastic thing. which yeah. the internet yep. is all over.
His daughter's hair elastic he wears on yeah. his wrist.
Yeah, Hopper wears his daughter's hair elastic on his wrist the whole show he has. And
oh,
we
really?
See it's yeah. hers from the scene where she's got the little pigtails. And then when she's in the hospital, we see when she's bald, his daughter, she's wearing it on her wrist. Oof, when she's dead, he wears it. And there are scenes where you actually see him playing with it. It's popped up a lot.
Yep.
And in this final scene where Elle's at the dance with Mike, she's wearing the elastic.
Oh, shit. I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Is this one that's of those cool. things that two people actually noticed and posted about and then yep. everybody brings it up like they're the
you
ones
are correct.
That noticed it?
100%.
Cool.
I love those.
I sure exactly. did not notice it. I read other people notice it. It's fantastic. It's actually really good, though, and very sweet. Yeah.
That is a nice touch yep. that I would have never got on to.
Ever, ever.
Yeah. Nobody did. Somebody did. And then
one person did,
like,
and then everyone did.
Did you know?
Retweet!
I thought of this great thing. No, you did not. One person on the internet did. It's this person. I have the article right here. Bustle.
There you go.
I don't know if that's true. But Leah Thomas 3 weeks ago noticed it, so I'll give her some credit. Her article is the one I read.
Oh, yeah. Crediting an article. Nice work.
Sure am. What
Dean,
do you think about that?
Dean, you've trained her well.
I
good
know.
Work, Leah Thomas. Oh, she's got really like
oh,
big
grows
eyes.
Up. Grows up and grows up.
Oh, so, she's from Rhode Island.
Sure, let's stay on track here. So, we are at the end of season two for Stranger Things. The gate has concluded. And let's just do some, let's do any parting thoughts, questions. Matt, what do you, say something.
Say something.
I'll say
something.
You're
a podcaster.
Yeah, I do this sometimes. You know, I think this is still a really strong season overall. Like I said at the top, it's a little bit, I'm pretty much, you know, same as Josh as far as like, it's a little bit less original, but that's like kind of impossible to change. Strong season overall, and I'm very glad, like you, Dean, that it has an endpoint in sight, that we're not just going to try and stretch it infinitely. That's all good, but I do, unlike, you know, it's funny, we talk so much about how strong the first season was and how nicely wrapped up it was, and I do agree. But after the first season, my mind was like racing with ways that it could continue. I'm like, I could still see there's all this possibility, all this potential for what could happen next, what could happen next. And at this point, with the end of this season, I'm like, I love it. I have a hard time imagining what's actually going to be next.
Well, it's a good thing you're not the Duffer Brothers.
Right. Yowza. Fucking Netflix hanging the axe over my head. But no, like I do like imagining Eleven kind of being in school, although I worry about how that could actually translate as a narrative. Like what I'm interested in is seeing Eleven interact with other people, like kind of meshing into, you know, a crowd, actually, you know, meeting other friends and starting to live a life. For one, I'm just like, that character deserves this at this point. Like, what an awful life she's had to lead so far. But as far as the, you know, the narrative movement of a whole season of television, I'm like, I don't know what you do with that. I'm like I'm a little bit worried. I still think they're gonna be able to pull off a good third season and a good fourth season. But yeah, this, I feel like I had predictions as far as the end of the season one. And this one, I don't know about you guys. I don't have any like offhand prediction other than what I was talking about with like the shadow monster now being more focused on Eleven and trying to find a way to use her, just like how humans tried to use her. Mm. But yeah, man.
You know, it reminds me of Interview with the Vampire. Like Claudia is this little vampire kid and you're like, she just can't be a normal person. Like when you're that much more powerful, how do you interact with people? I just imagine like Hopper dressing her down. Like you can't blow up school children with your telekinetic mind bullets whenever you get upset. Okay. You can't do that. So yeah, I don't know. It's dude, I couldn't have predicted this season. I'm not going to for a second try and predict a third season other than to say that I'm sure they'll think of a way to present a conflict that they can run with again without it being too massively huge. I think with the closing of the Hawkins lab, that's interesting. I think that's going to be a mistake in the end because I think that's how the Shadow Monster will gain access to do what he needs to do, which is without guys like Owens and everyone else holding down the fort, they're probably going to try to start coming through, making new gates, doing whatever. Maybe as we were saying earlier, maybe that demo dog in the fucking refrigerator. I'm assuming that thing's gone, actually. But whatever. I mean, who knows what they're going to do. But I'm sure, I think Hawkins Lab closing down, on the one hand, we're like, yeah, cool. But on the other hand, we might be like, oh, fuck. Like, it was the line of defense that perhaps Hawkins needed. But I don't know. I'm curious. I thought this was a good season. The one of the things we've said the whole podcast is that we continue to see just actors being good at acting. You know, even though there's the occasional writing faux pas, like with any show, we still see these characters and these actors executing at a high level, and the relationships being strong enough to make us feel something for these characters. The fact that we've seen things that have turned us around on certain things, and I just think that's awesome. I think it's important that we continue to make this a character-driven show, with the plot points being important but not integral to the success of the show, right? So that's kind of what I have to say. Who would like to talk next?
Oh, aren't you going to pick one of us?
Go ahead, Jeff. Actually, you go, Josh. We'll let Jess.
Oh, damn.
Jess can wrap it up since you've been here the whole time.
I might, if I had to, dip this maybe to an A-, but it's still really up there as far as I'm talking about season two as a whole. I can be nitpicky, and like if I think of it, I can go through and say like, oh, you know, the season overall, like here, I can list like a few weak points if I want to be an analytical cunt, but like I have to look for them, with the exception of just a couple things that really bugged me. But I could easily just flow about things I loved and the acting and the characters and, you know, different segments and whatever. And I think it just, I'm glad Stranger Things exists. I am worried, Matt, actually talking about it, even though there are only two more, you know, looking at it, which I hadn't really done, and saying like, what threads are you going to pull on? Okay, you have Eleven's quote-unquote sister and that whole thing. You have, you know, like who hasn't had any kind of arc? Billy, okay? Like, I mean, there are some worrying things, but I don't think the Duff brothers are going to fucking lay an egg. But it's impossible to top season one, and it's just tough. It's tough acts to follow up, but you got great characters, you get a really cool setting, it's something very special here. I think they can, when you're talking about 8 to 10 episodes a season, I think these are still going to be things that we're going to really enjoy watching. And so I'll look forward to it. I won't, you know, I'm not going to set like crazy high hopes, but I'm going to look forward to revisiting these characters. I think making Eleven in some ways into almost an antagonist role, I think could be really interesting in season three, whether it's like a dark side kind of thing coming out of her or just her being too powerful to exist in the normal world. Like, that's a pretty fucking tragic and awful thing, and Matt will fucking jump off bridge out in Portland. But, I mean, you know, just kind of spitballing, there's some fucking stuff they could explore, but I don't know. We'll see. Thanks for having me on. It was fun talking about. I'm really, really glad I got to chat with you guys, and then I got to watch the show in general.
Sweet. Jessica?
Gee, what is there to say that hasn't already been said? Just again, repeating the same thing about glad there's an end point. I'm glad they have an end in sight. I feel like these two seasons have been very standalone. I don't know if season three and four are going to be that same way now that they know that they're going to end it after four. I think those seasons might be more connected almost, as opposed to having a clear middle, beginning, middle, and end, that we're going to kind of flow the two seasons together in some way. Maybe rather than having like a big bad of season three and a big bad of season four, we're going to have one main big thing we're fighting against, this giant monster or whatever. I agree that I think the idea of like a dark Eleven is something that they will explore to a certain manner. And that'll be interesting to see. I just hope they don't get too into the whole sister thing or any of that, because that is obviously not going to work based on how it went this season.
It might, but there is a point there about the dark side piece that, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, that quick flash that we saw of Kali, of using her anger and it working, that's something Eleven's not going to soon forget, right? The fact that her anger assisted her in closing the gate is going to be something she doesn't forget.
They didn't have that fucking whole episode for no reason.
Right, exactly.
It's coming back.
Correct.
And also, we got that, we didn't even talk about that vision she got of, the scientist.
Brenner, that's what I was just going to say.
Brenner, yeah.
Brenner.
Where he's saying you have a wound that's going to spread and grow, and eventually it's going to kill you. And that's all set against her using her powers to her fullest. And
the Duffer brothers have confirmed that Brenner is still alive. So going to be a huge thing in the next two seasons.
Nobody.
Brenner, not Barb.
Get it Brenner, together.
Brenner.
Oh, okay. You said she. Sorry. I thought you were talking about Barb. Because you mentioned Barb earlier and you said she. No, and I was like, are we Brenner. Back on Barbara? Because I am
get it
fucking
together,
not
sir.
Private Joker is hard to kill, man.
That's true.
Wow. Yeah, so he is supposedly still alive, and that's going to, I think, be a big part of the show going forward, knowing that he's going to be around. The first season was great. This season was great. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any other way you can go with a show like this other than downhill. It's going to be hard to top these two seasons at all. This is just in general with television. A lot of shows like struggle their first season and really hit their stride their second season, and everything's kind of downhill from there. It's hard to have your first season be so fantastic and then to have a great second season is going to be hard to, you know, upswing. And I'm not being negative about the show. It's going to be fun and great, and I'm going to enjoy it. But it can only really go downhill from here. I don't think it can get better.
Hmm. But you said the same thing in the first season, but I got you.
Disgusting.
What's disgusting?
Chugging a glass of milk.
Josh is like drinking milk in front of me. It's making me really upset.
You brought that just to antagonize Jess.
Of course.
It made me really upset.
I never drink milk.
What are you, 11?
I just like threw up in my mouth.
All right.
Yeah, I love drinking milk.
So here's the deal, guys. The Stranger Things coverage has concluded. I just want to thank everyone who has tuned in. All of the new listeners. We effectively doubled our listenership with Spotify, which is massive. So thanks to everyone who joined us via Spotify and found us. And if you did find us through Spotify or any other means, that means you're probably not aware that we have other shows. So make sure you Google search LSG Media. We cover, we have a film podcast that runs every week called the Science Fiction Film Podcast, where we cover science fiction and other films. And we have a bunch of shit out there. Just Google LSG Media. You're going to find us, Westworld, Game of Thrones, all that jazz. We are launching a Battlestar Galactica podcast, which is going to be dropping on December 7th. So make sure you search that out. The name of it is Recommissioned, Battlestar Galactica podcast. It's Recommissioned, Battlestar Galactica podcasts, and everything else we have to offer over at LibertyStreetGeek.net. All right, we are going to get out of here. Thanks to everyone who joined us this season. We had a blast. It was awesome. And we'll catch you guys, I suppose, on the flip side or in the upside down or whatever you want to say. Goodbye. We'll be right back.